And Melbourne is also the place to look for stick insects. Just ask Matt Smith. I know you're dead keen on stick insects, as you should be, and the story of this one is amazing.
Come in, into the world of the Lord Howe Island stick insect.
I should have expected humidity.
I'm at Melbourne Zoo, in one of a number of glass houses dedicated to a single species of animal, the Lord Howe Island stick insect. The humidity is set at a balmy 80%, because that's how it is at Lord Howe Island, and that's how the stick insect likes it.
This is the young ones, when they first hatch, a few hours old.
Okay, so those are tiny, couple of centimetres long.
They're the little ones, and these are the adults.
I'm being introduced to the animals by entomologist Rowan Cleave. He opens one box to show me about 30 dark brown giant stick insects, all huddled together in the dark.
Wow.
There's a massive change from when they first hatch out of the egg.
Yeah.
They're very bright green, around 2 centimetres, and then they grow into this very impressive stick insect. This is a female, and they go very, very black, and at this point they'll only come out at night to feed, search and to mate and things like that. This is a very heavy stick insect species. About 25 grams they'll get up to when they're fully grown, and around 15 centimetres for the females. The males are a little bit smaller than the females, but what the males have is really, really big spines on their hind legs.
The Lord Howe Island stick insect is a big deal, and to understand why, you need to know its backstory. We'll start it with a message from Dame Jane Goodall, which was recently played at the launch of a book called Return of the Phasmid. The book is by Rick Wilkinson and covers the story of this insect. Here's Jane Goodall.
I first heard about the Lord Howe giant stick insect from Nicholas Carlyle back in 2007. Originally, it lived in the lush tropical vegetation of Lord Howe Island. But then rats were introduced, and they soon discovered that the huge phasmid made a tasty meal. And as the rats multiplied, the stick insects gradually vanished, until it seemed that the Lord Howe phasmid was totally extinct. And then, during a dangerous midnight climb, Nicholas found a small group of the insects surviving in a small patch of vegetation on Ball's Pyramid. Anything less like the original habitat would be hard to imagine, a rugged spire of mostly bare rock rising out of the ocean 23 miles away from their original home.
It was considered that it may be on Ball's Pyramid, but no live animals have been found.
And this is Nicholas Carlyle. He's a senior research scientist at the Office of Environment and Heritage in New South Wales. And back in 2001, along with David Priddell, he was one of the discoverers of the living specimens of the Lord Howe Island stick insect on Ball's Pyramid.
My role in the expedition was to manage getting onto the pyramid, which it's 23 kilometres from the main island. You're dealing with vertical cliff faces that you have to pretty well jump onto and then clamber up to a rock platform and hopefully only stay there for 24 hours, but at worst 3 days, because your window of opportunity out in the open ocean, we're 500 k's from the mainland, is very small.
Is it a logistically complicated hunk of rock to get onto?
It's very complicated. It's a kilometre long, half a kilometre wide, and 550 metres high. Most of it is totally inaccessible. Jump onto the rock when the boat was at the highest point of a wave before it drew away from the cliff face, and you'd clamber up, and once we got everybody up, we then had the gear tossed up to us, and there were some 15 containers of water and food and bedrolls. That was the easy bit. The hard bit was actually going to look for something that nobody had ever found living on the pyramid. So about 9 o'clock that night, we started to climb back up the pyramid. We just had a head torch. This is pre-digital days. So I had a little Instamatic camera, which only had 3 shots left on it. And we were going up vertical faces, which is quite difficult in the dark with a head torch because you've got the light right on your face. It affects your night vision. It's really hard to pick your foot and handholds because we were going up some very steep faces. And when we got close to the ledge where this bush was, we could see a big cricket sitting out on the edge chewing on something. And I went, oh, bugger, look at that. It's going to be a cricket. And then we got a little bit closer, and there on the outside of the Melaleuca was this shiny black insect, the biggest thing I'd ever seen in my life, because we're not used to really big invertebrates in Australia. I mean, they are much bigger stick insects elsewhere in the world. But for me, it was just amazing. And we were just totally gobsmacked. And Dean's a little bit more reserved than me, but I was swearing my head off. I was so excited at what we were seeing, because basically, if you want to see invertebrates that size, you've got to go back to when invertebrates ruled the world, you know? these are large insects that can't fly, which if there are rats and mice around, they're an immediate meal. So you just don't find them, particularly on the Australian mainland. And we searched around and there was a big female up on the bush and there was one really low to the ground. She had dust on her, so she'd obviously been walking on the ground. And I went to pick her up and I wasn't sure if these things could bite, because I'm used to living in Sydney and there's cockroaches that can give you a good bite. And it started to turn its head around. I dropped it and it started scurrying away. And that was the other thing. We expected them to move really slowly. And these things moved really fast, like a cockroach, very quickly. And Dean slammed his foot down just in front of it and came up to the shoe and stopped. We went, oh, we took a photo. And so that was one of the three photos that we had, was Dean's sand shoe and this stick insect. As an iconic species for Lord Howe, you can't go past this stick insect. It's pretty good.
A few years later in 2003, permission is finally granted to remove four Lord Howe Island stick insects from Ball's Pyramid and attempt to breed them in captivity. Two were sent to Sydney, where they died within a week, and the other two were sent to Melbourne Zoo. They were named Adam and Eve, and now 11 years later, there's a population of more than 700. Rowan Cleave talks about the success of the breeding program and the research that they've been doing.
You have to imagine a species that you find in the wild that there's no recorded information, so we didn't really know too much about them. One of our staff members actually changed his working life to work completely nights for the first month. We knew a particular species of plant that they may have fed on, which was the Melaleuca howeana, which is on Ball's Pyramid, but that's pretty much it. We started with two. We're now in 2014 and we've had over 11,000 nymphs hatch out here at Melbourne Zoo. This is our 11th generation and we're breeding really, really well.
You said that you've been experimenting with a few trees along the way. Did you find that there was something that worked better with what they had on Lord Howe Island?
Yeah, absolutely. So the primary plant was Melaleuca howeana. The other plant that we use a lot that propagates and grows really, really quickly is tree lucerne. They go really well on that. And the other plant we've introduced recently is ficus. When we do experiments, we start with the young. We run an individual through on one particular plant until they get adult, and those adults lay eggs. And then if those eggs hatch, then we deem that as a successful trial. Now, at the zoo, we've trialled over 70-odd plants already, different species. A lot of those haven't worked. But again, it comes down to our best guess on what might equate diet-wise to this particular species.
As far as I understand it, every insect that you see here is descended from Adam and Eve, the bug Adam and Eve, not the biblical. What do you do with genetic diversity then? Is that an issue?
Not so much with invertebrates. Invertebrate DNA and genetics is slightly different to what you would see in mammals. That was something that we thought may come into play early, and there are times when we've felt genetics may be a bit of an issue, but we're now in our 11th generation, and we're still seeing beautiful animals hatch, go all the way through, have no issues with any deformities and that. That's the thing we don't see with invertebrates. You don't see deformities with regards to genetics. We also have run other different trials on parthenogenesis or female-only populations. Could they survive, in theory, without introduction of males? And yes, they can, which is quite common in other stick insect species as well. But all offspring will be female, and that's how certain populations survive with a female-only population.
Is there the intention at any point to release them back to their natural habitat, to Lord Howe Island?
That's the hope. There are a few things that have to happen before then. So now we concentrate on the captive breeding side of things, and then if that all comes together, then yeah, one day we do hope to see this species back on Lord Howe Island.
It's an amazing achievement that you've got here, and it's a great example of a success story.
This is such a positive conservation story. It's great for invertebrate conservation. We've gone along and done our thing, knowing that hopefully down the track, this could be seen as a model conservation program.
Rowan Cleave at Melbourne Zoo with Matt Smith.